This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hi, I'm Julian Clary. Stay on Joy, Australia's butchest radio station.
Shoulders.
Hello and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. Lovely to have you with us on this wonderful day. Every day is a wonderful day. Oh, sure I'm here is. Again, as it were. When I wake up and I'm not here, that's when it won't be a wonderful day.
But you won't know it.
I won't know it, that's for sure. And that was the voice of...
Phil. Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil?
Well, I just diagnosed your death.
Oh, that's right. And you gave me an anticoal to go
well,
with
right.
it as
well. Well, no, you can't mention me giving out non-prescription medicines.
And Gordon.
Yes, here
hello.
I am. How are you?
Oh, I'm a little bit confused at the moment.
Oh, are you?
Nothing new there, though.
Nothing new there. You're right.
He was the Greek electrician.
Who's that?
Confused.
Confused.
Not to be mistaken for the Greek parachutist.
Condescending.
Condescending.
Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah.
Oh, well, our show is Been There, Done That, and some of those jokes you would have heard before, and we tend to recycle facts and figures and pieces of information, and we like to focus on gay and lesbian people and events. And today we'll be talking about last weekend's Pride March, as well as a few other things. We've got a couple of gay icons, dicons, people who have had birthdays or have left this world around about this time. We've got a couple of other local events that we'll be talking about, so you've got to stay tuned.
Will we open with Pride?
Well, we always open with Pride.
Oh, of course
we're very
we do.
Proud to be here.
Yes, of course we are, yes. We're happy to be sitting in front of these microphones, actually.
And you were walking in Pride March. I was walking. I was carrying the banner.
Oh, you were Hannah too.
Yeah, I was.
I was Hannah one. No, we carried the banner for Vintage Men, and it was rather fun.
It was a beautiful day.
It was gorgeous.
Got sunburned a little bit, but that was okay. And there was about 4,000 people in the march, and there was some report of 40,000 people at the side of the thing, of the parade. I'm not sure about the 40,000.
I'd be querying that figure. I can see the 4,000 marches, but I couldn't see the 40,000 people because I thought it was much the same as we normally have, which is usually about 25, 30,000. Anyhow, it was a great day.
It was a great day. It was led by the Aboriginal group, and I think that was particularly brilliant because so often we tend to not consider anybody except ourselves as being gay, and we're the only gay in the village, but there are lots of villages with lots of gays.
That's right, and I have quite a few Aboriginal friends that are gay. So why shouldn't they be in the parade? And I loved the smoking ceremony at the beginning. I thought that was absolutely superb.
The total mix of people in the parade was wider than I'd ever remembered it. There's lots of South Americans this time.
Were there? I didn't see them.
Yes, they're marching behind a banner that included the flags of Brazil and Argentina and Colombia and places like that. So it's nice to have those Southern Crosses walking with us as well.
And it was a huge thing. We had there were politicians, there was everybody of every shape, colour and size, actually, which was rather beautiful.
but it wasn't like Mardi Gras where the politicians or the political parties carry banners. It wasn't a protest march. This was a pride march, as you sort of mentioned earlier, Gordon.
And that's what it's about. It's about getting out there and showing your support for the gay community as well as being proud of being a gay person, which is the thing.
And we would have to say that one political party was absent.
Well, I'm not sure whether they were absent, but I didn't see them. I did see two others, but I didn't see the one in blue. So I don't know whether they were there or not.
So you saw some green ones.
I saw some green ones and some red ones.
And some red ones.
Mm, but not some blue ones.
Now, are we talking Teletubbies? Because I can't ever remember which one was which.
No, but it was interesting that they were those that were there were marching with huge pride. Like the Premier was there, the Leader of the Opposition was there. It was really, really nice to see them supporting us.
And they had their families with them.
Yes, they did too. Yes, yes, they were, the whole lot were there supporting us. And why not? I mean, to say we're as good as anybody else.
How can we measure the effectiveness of Pride March? Well, it's grown from a very shortish march 20 years ago or more into one that took over an hour and a half to move past a particular point.
The march can be measured in so many different ways, because as a community activity, it's huge.
Mm.
As an individual endeavour to actually work up the courage to get there and march with your community,
yes,
is enormous. I would imagine to look out and see people you know supporting you would be a wonderful feeling.
I can remember the first one, we danced all the way. We were the rainbow cloggers and the boot scooters and everything, and we danced all the way from...
Now, see, that's past. That's gone.
Mm, yeah, but that's one of those fads that came and went.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun.
I tried tap dancing, but I fell into the sink.
Oh, you see, he's in fine form today, which is excellent.
Yes, yes. One thing that I was very pleased to see was the transgender community were very, very well represented at the march.
They were. There was the usual grouping of drag queens,
mm-hmm.
which were the early forerunners of gender confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were some, as you say, people who were flamboyant in their costumes, proclaiming their sexual diversity. But then there was those in what I'll call T-shirts and jeans saying, I'm bi or I'm trans or I'm still sorting it out. And it was a wonderful statement that they were there boldly presenting themselves.
And good on them. Yeah, wonderful stuff.
But I think it's nice that the community has expanded to give them a safe place, because we understand how scary it is not having a safe place to exist.
That's exactly right, Philip. Yeah.
So it's just nice. Yeah, it's not a gesture. It's permanent. They're part of our community.
That's right. They certainly are. Yeah, my word.
We've had some trans people in the public space for a fairly long time now.
Oh, yeah.
I would say over 50 years, and not only just local trans people, but people on the international stage, people who have transitioned from one gender to another. The binary concept of sexuality has really become so flexible in the last 50 years. And as we learn more about human biology.
Mm. It's very, very flexible here in Australia, but there are some countries that it is not, of course, which is a bit of a problem. And I read a lot of American magazines, and the transgendered community in America, especially in the black community, are very, very stigmatized in the US. It's just something terrible when you read these articles about what happens to them over there.
Well, that's why the American version of safe schools is so opposed in some of the southern states, because they want transgender kids or kids who don't know or are questioning to have equal access to boys' or girls' toilets.
That's right.
And, of course, that's the worst thing in the world to a binary redneck who can't expand his mind to include what is reality. That's not the way I was brung up.
We've got a, as it were, a communal toilet here at the radio station. And the sign on the door is toilet all genders. But someone who really got into the gayness of things and sang at the European Song Contest many a year ago was Dana International, the Israeli transgender singer. And
she actually won, didn't she?
Yeah, I believe so. Yes. She was assigned male at birth. Sharon Cohen, the real name for Dana International, discovered that she was transsexual at an early age and came out as a trans girl when she was 13 in 1985. She underwent sexual reassignment surgery in 1993 and in that year released her first album, Dana International. Well, I think we might have to play that song, I think, basing her subsequent stage name on it. After consolidating her commercial success, she was selected in 1998 to represent Israel in the Eurovision Song Contest. contest with her song Diva, and she was placed first. And
it was a good song too.
It was, and it is. Mm. And she came to the public attention through Europe. And you need those stars, those icons, those beacons in the darkness to show you the way sometimes.
Certainly do.
Well, why don't we hear from Dinah?
I think it'd be lovely.
Let's take a vote.
Here we are on Joy 94.9, Been There, Done That.
Melbourne's lovable radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're with Chris Gordon and Phil. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. Lovely to have your company. We're all a bit exhausted and burnt out after our efforts in Pride March. However,
no, we're not. We're fit and able, and we carried the banners. You carried a banner and I did. We're all fit. Well, sort of.
Two out of three ain't bad.
Two out of three ain't bad. Oh, dear.
Someone who's having a birthday around about this time and still around on the scene was Mark Trevorrow, born on the 4th of February, 1959, a Murrumbeena boy, a local lad.
Yes, and then he's also got his friend Bob Down.
Yes.
I don't know if it happened to Ben Down, but he's Bob Down.
Ben couldn't make it.
And what about
he changed his name to Dover. I like it when I get in first.
I was going to do much the same.
There's a lead into that one too, but I'm not going to say it.
No, we're a nice show.
Now, why was Bob Down or Mark Trevorrow sort of on our communal radio memory?
He's actually got a very good singing voice, and he was a stand-up comedian, and he established this character, Bob Down, with a polyester, the Prince of Polyester, I think he used to call himself, because he's had the polyester safari suit, which was quite popular in the days. Well, it was sort of just a little bit passé at the time.
Describe it for the listener, please.
Well, it was a buttoned-up jacket with little short sleeves and the same coloured trousers. So if you had a green jacket, you had a green trousers, or light green, lime green, or pink.
As of last Thursday, it was pale blue.
Was it?
He was on the Australia Day concert.
Oh, right. So he had different colours for different times.
And he's a very distinctive hairdo, which I think lives in a box.
Was he trying to do a Donald Trump hairdo?
They didn't refer to it. It's spookily in the same
area. Yes, that's right. Yeah, but he's very, very talented and a very talented young man.
He was his show was cheesy. I think
cheesy. Yes,
and
yes.
He had dazzling teeth. I don't know how they arrived.
I think they
Did
might
they
have
come
been,
in the same box as the hair.
I think they might have been slipovers. You know, put them over your own because they were very big and they're very white.
But he's very quick witted.
Oh, smart and man. Yes,
he had a show. Was it Reliving the 60s or had a lot of airline references in ABC not long ago?
Yeah, yeah. He's been around for a long, long time.
Yes, he's quite a decent host.
Yes, yeah, very funny man. But he's, as you say, he's having a birthday today.
And so he went to Edinburgh Fringe Festival and was a huge and instant success, apparently.
And the British loved him. He had sell-out shows all through Britain.
And he was much like some of the other Australian comedians. They sort of have a shuttle service going, each from Edinburgh to Melbourne to Edinburgh to Melbourne to be on the comedy specials.
Yeah, but he stayed in Britain for quite a while and did very, very well. And he also did tours of Australia, of course. He toured widely in Australia, very popular everywhere he went because he had that sort of comedy that sort of people could relate to.
Yeah.
You know, because he just sort of was, it was the send up of an era that was just past.
Yeah.
And he would give it hell, Harry.
and he came out to his family as gay when he was 13.
Mm.
Wow.
Something like I did. Mm. So
you weren't wearing a safari suit.
I wasn't wearing a safari suit and a wig, no.
But someone who was a public figure in another sphere. We're talking about a person in the political sphere who wore
safari
suit. Well, in fact, it was a cut-down safari suit, included pink shorts.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about?
The Premier of South Australia at one stage, Don Dunstan.
Yeah, good old Donnie Dunstan. He did so much for South Australia. They were the first, I think they were the first state in Australia to decriminalise homosexuality. I think that was one of his big things. I think they decriminalised homosexuality over there before anywhere else in Australia.
Which sounds so funny, because how could it possibly have been a crime?
Well, we were criminals in those days. This is the point.
Just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense now.
It's who you are. You're doing what you want to in your own bedroom.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's Mr. Plod outside with his big stick wanting to hit you with it.
Yeah, wanting to know what you're doing in your own bedroom. They don't go around doing that, asking other people that.
He was a Labor
man. Yep, yep.
And he'd actually been, he was the Attorney General in the state government, but he'd had a legal background.
Oh, yes, he was.
This was the thing, that he was the right man in the right job, and then when he got the Premier's job as well, to sort out a few of the out-of-date laws that were already and still on the books there.
Can I just say that one thing about Don Dunstan was he was a leader. He wasn't a follower.
Oh, yeah.
He led the Parliament. He got the Parliament to follow his lead, which was great, which they don't seem to do these days. We didn't have very many leaders in the politics of our Australian.
No. Well, he really had enough time in his own premiership, if I can call it this, 67-68, but then from 1970 to 1979. And that's why South Australians, crow eaters, call it the Dunstan Decade.
That's right, yes.
Because he was in the job long enough to have a manifesto, to have certain targets and actually put them into practice and get them through.
And get them through. And he was a very persuasive speaker as well, which is another thing too. He had a great gift of the gab.
He worked alongside Gough Whitlam to remove the White Australia policy from the ALP platform, mm-hmm. and pushed for Indigenous and queer rights, as well as challenging corruption amongst the police and ASIO, particularly with reference to homosexual persecutions. Now, there was a particular professor from the Adelaide University who drowned.
He finished up in the river.
In the drink, in the Torrens River, under mysterious circumstances, and there's every indication that Plod was involved.
That was the story, wasn't it? Has it ever been...
It never really came out, but there was a couple of police commissioners and other high-ranking officials who were under the spotlight. But
that case has never been solved, who actually killed him, is it? No. Yeah. One of those cold cases that will defy history, I think, never be filed.
Who investigates the investigator.
Mm. Yeah, but, yes, Donnie Dunstan made the whole of South Australia stand up and take notice, but they've always led in lots of other things. They were the first state to give women the vote in Australia.
Oh, way back before
that. So South Australia's always been one of those...
And they're still paying the price for that.
Are they?
Yeah.
Why, for giving women the vote?
Women voting all over the place.
Oh,
they're everywhere.
Are they? They're even in Parliament now, which is great.
Yeah. Taken over.
Not enough of them, unfortunately.
Not many in the Liberal Party.
we need women in Parliament, because they've got a different sort of way of looking at things, which is always great.
And
as far as
a little bit more sensible than a lot of men too.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, they're not testosterone driven.
Someone else who had a fairly strong voice, but this time in the UK scene, was Steve Bronski and his band, which went out under various names. Communards was a later version.
Well, that was when Jimmy Somerville sang with the Communards, but he started with Bronski Beat.
Bronski Beat, in fact, was a progressive new age band in the time of the Beatles. It was a completely different sound.
They had a great sound.
And most of their songs were gay.
Mm-hmm. They were gay-themed.
Gay-themed indeed. Mm-hmm. And they were wonderful hits because they were a different sound, and it was a different story, a different message, and they really changed the scene in the UK as well.
They were actually signed to a record label after only 9 performances, which was absolutely unbelievable, because their sound was just so different and so great.
Once you got it right, you don't fix it.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right.
I think we should hear from them.
All right. Well, why don't we? You're on Been There, Done That, Joy 94.9. Here's Bronski Beat. Hit that perfect beat.
Beat boy, hit that perfect beat boy, beat boy, beat boy, hit that. Joy program has a podcast and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
Yes, you're with Chris Gordon and Phil, been there, done that, Joy 94.9. And we also have a fourth member to our team, and that's Julia, who does the podcasts for us
each week.
Thank you, Julia, part of the team.
And if you want to contact any of us, or in fact Julia, you can send us an email at beenthere@joy.org.au.
Other royal things that have happened in the last few days, apart from a whole mess of us walking down the street last weekend.
Referring to us queens?
The lovely state of Victoria was named after the queen who was on the throne at the time.
Yes, the longest serving queen at the time. She was when she passed away. She'd been on the throne for 64 years or something or other. She came to the throne when she was only 18 and she was, 64, 70? That's at 82 when she died.
It's a living. Get everything you've done for you.
Originally called, when she married Albert, she was Victoria Saxe Coburg-Gotha. I've got to get it right. It had a very German name. And, of course, King George the Fifth, I think it was, decided to call themselves Windsor at the First World War so that they weren't German.
And now Harry and co, they're actually Wales.
Yes, they're
after
the Wales.
After the Prince of Wales, their father.
Yes.
So they've adopted a new ID. But yes, didn't you see last weekend that in fact Harry and Wills have decided to arrange for a statue of their mother, Princess Diana?
Well, it's about time, I thought. I think she did so much for the community, for our community especially. I think the gay community in Britain would be very, very for that, of course, because she did so much, especially in the AIDS crisis, for what she did for that.
She was the people's princess.
Right. Yeah. Yes, she was. It's also coming up this week. Well, during this week is our own Queen's anniversary.
Yeah, well, Queen Victoria died on the 22nd of January in 1901. And in 1901, we also had some momentous events occurred early in the year of January.
What were they?
Well, that's when the Commonwealth of Australia was actually declared.
It proclaimed, yes.
It was proclaimed.
On the 1st of January 1901.
So that was really the first time that there was a legal entity, the one lump of soil called Australia. Prior to that, actually, you know, we talk about Botany Bay events and things. Captain Cook decided to have the eastern slab of Australia as
New South Wales, he called it.
As New South Wales, but as the inheritance of the British Crown. But then the borders got pushed a little bit further westward, and eventually there was a point.
Well, about a third of the continent was on the other side of where they decided New South Wales was going to be.
Yeah, and so there was a real point in time when two-thirds of the landmass of Australia was actually claimed for Britain.
That's right.
And then they had to go through the process of dispossessing the local inhabitants of the remainder. And that is the time when Australia as a single entity probably could be considered as coming into being.
Well, it became the British, a whole British land when it was declared in King George Sound down in, near Albany, the western part of Australia, of the continent, would be under the British rule. That would be British. And, of course, there were Dutch and Portuguese that were in the place.
So that was the 21st of January 1827.
That's right.
So is that Australia Day?
Well, it should be.
Perhaps
when
it could
became
be.
Australian.
Well, that was the first point when we were a complete landmass Australia.
Well, owned by the British,
As opposed to just the penal settlement of New South Wales.
Or this bump in Botany Bay where they just happened to hit land.
So there's that date, then there's the 1st of January 1901. But then there could be...
That's just Australia Day on paper.
But the point is, but Australia wasn't called Australia until 1818 or something or other.
Yeah.
It was much late after 1800 that they called... Australia was officially named Australia. But Matthew Flinders said it should be called Australia. And so they decided then that they would call it Australia. That was about 1800.
Yeah, before then it was New Holland.
New South Holland in the west and New South Wales in the east. Even Tasmania was part of New South Wales. It wasn't Van Diemen's Land. It was Van Diemen's Land. Yeah.
Well, in the few years before 1901, the premiers got together, and they were doing the prequel or the run up to 1901, and they said, right, we've got to have a common set of rules for that all the landmass would abide by, and all the states can sign up for those, and we will have a common wealth.
And that was when they decided that they would have to have a constitution to become an Australian country, to become Australia. And
also we should have an official capital city.
Yes, yeah. And it should not be Melbourne or Sydney.
Yeah.
Because they bicker. Sydney. Nag.
Melbourne was the richest city, one of the richest cities in the world at the time, and Sydney wasn't.
Yeah.
But Sydney was the premier city.
They were there first.
Big so they felt that they had the right to be everything.
They still do.
And that's why they had to build a... they said that they would build a new settlement, and it would have to be at least 100 miles south of Sydney or away from Sydney. And that's when they got onto the plains there in New South Wales and bought the land. Well, they didn't buy the land. They just acquired it.
Yeah.
And it became the
Australian Capital Territory.
That's right. So it doesn't have anything to do with the 26th of January.
No.
Which is what gets me. It's always been my bugbear when they talk about Australia Day on that day.
Well, perhaps things will change when Queen Elizabeth II dies. She actually became Queen Elizabeth II, Elizabeth Windsor, on the 6th of February 1952.
Yes, so this year she's on the 6th of February. She's been there for 65 years and she beats Victoria easily. Oh, she has beaten Victoria now.
Yeah.
She's been there longer than Victoria by... What the few days extra that Victoria was over years. Yes, the Queen celebrates 65 years.
Let's change the terminology to exceeded her reign, because beaten has got a rather negative. Right. This poor dead woman in a grave with a baseball bat hitting on the tombstone.
Yes, she can't
get up and say, I want another lap around the oval.
Yes, no, all right. Well, we'll say that her reign has been
exceeded by the current Queen Elizabeth II.
That's,
and they all speak like that. Anyway.
That means that Australia might have a different point of history if we declare to not take up the opportunity to have a queen or a king after Elizabeth dies.
Well, that's when the people are sort of saying that they should become a republic when the queen passes away, because that's a good time to do it. But she's always said that you can do it whenever you want to. She's never stood in the way of Australia becoming a republic, but it's just the politicians and the people that scream and jump up and down and everything.
Don't want to break any eggshells.
Yeah, see, because India is a republic, but it's also still a member of the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
And there are lots of republics that are a member of the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
They stay members of the Commonwealth. Yeah. You know? So there's nothing changes, except that we just have...
Sadly, a lot of the inherited British laws that we got in the early days are still on the books, especially in India, where although there is factually more than two genders, there's crimes on the books that suited the English situation, not the Indian situation.
Yeah, but the Supreme Court in India passed a law to make it homosexuality a legal status, and then somebody else came in but another judge came in and said, no, it's not. Kicked it out again, everything went back to the British laws, and the same in Jamaica and in those countries. They are very strict on gay laws, and it's only because they've inherited the laws from Britain.
There is a little organisation called Kaleidoscope that is trying to get support for other ex-Commonwealth governments or oppositions in those places that want to get rid of the British law, and they're actually providing them with the tools to argue the case.
Well, that's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, but then again, you've got places like where these American evangelists are going into in like Uganda or in some of these African countries and saying, getting them to pass anti-gay laws and all the rest of it, and punishable by death or throwing into prison and all this sort of business. And these are supposed to be Christian people.
Let's talk about Sam Sparrow.
Oh, well, let's talk about Sam Sparrow. He's got a new CD out at the moment, new song out at the moment too, which we've been playing here on Joy 94.9, I can tell you.
I bet he tweets
it. And it's brilliant.
What's it called?
I can't remember, but I played it on last Wednesday.
Oh, you're such a spoil sport, Gordon.
And it is just great. It really is a great song.
Well, let's hear him sing Your Man.
Yes, I'd
hear on Joy.
I don't mind my man.
You're so cool. Did you come from the freezer? Wanna bust out my visa for you? You're so fresh.
Did you come from... Uplifting. Informing. Empowering. Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Did you notice amongst the walkers in the Pride March, there were lots of service organisations, but there was lots of animals as well.
There were quite a few puppy dogs walking around.
Yes, yes. And there was a few little puppy dogs with very short legs. And
they had to run to keep up.
Oh, I know, but they were walking on the hard, hot road surface, and I thought, oh no, they need little booties on.
Well, we're rather fortunate that the temperature didn't get that high. It was only, according to the official temperature, it was only 24 for the march, and they did say it was going to be 28. So,
oh, that got there in the end.
Mm.
You got your sea breeze.
Yes, the sea breeze came through, yes. You know that song you just played? That was Sam Sparrow's new song.
Okay, then. Yeah, very good.
So there, you've got that. That's a beauty. Love it.
One of the nasty events that has occurred in the last few years around about this time were the Victorian bushfires of the 7th of February 2009.
Yes, up at King Lake.
Up at King Lake. 173 people died.
Yeah, it was a shocker of a thing.
We shouldn't forget that was the extreme...
that was a shocking year for heat.
For heat, for all...
It was dry heat.
Biomass that was dry, yes, that went up.
Yep, and it was just a shocking time. It was just a dreadful, dreadful. But
like most disasters, it takes more than one thing to go wrong.
That's right.
So we actually hit 47 degrees Celsius.
Mm.
And I recall stepping out into that, and it's like a wall of
heat.
It actually physically hits you.
Mm-hmm.
And...
But then
near the fires, that temperature could have doubled easily. Yeah,
but it was, but also they had the wind that came through too at the time.
Yeah,
which sort of, and of course, when fires start burning, the heat rises and it drags in the wind underneath them, which just makes the wind blow stronger and stronger.
Drags the oxygen through as well.
Yeah, that's right, and burns it all. Yeah,
which means that if you're actually in the middle of a fire,
you could run out of breath.
You could run out of air because it's all being used up. Up above you, certainly not sitting on the ground, but for the combustion of the fire.
But another cause is do gooder tree huggers who didn't want to trim the vegetation near their homes. Yeah. They loved that so-called country setting.
That's right, yes.
But they forget that nature in Australia requires fire.
That's right.
That's how some trees breed. That's how the native wildlife survive. It's a system well in place before we came along with our brick veneer homes.
Well, the indigenous people used it as a way of getting the land regenerated for the next time they came around.
Mm. Mm. And so we thought we knew better. It's a common human problem.
Yeah.
And we said, no, we need to preserve as many of these trees as we can, and we'll build them up next to our house so it'll be nice and shady and comfortable. And it does look beautiful. There's absolutely no doubt about it.
Yep.
But it's fuel.
Yeah. I had two people up in the fires. One of them lost everything completely, but he had got out in time. But he was one of those clever people that put everything that he needed, like everything, documented stuff that he needed, he had on a CD.
Yep.
And all he had to do was pick up one CD. He had photos. He had everything stuck on this CD. Just picked up the CD and he had it all in one go.
Wow.
But another friend of mine, she was an artist, and she was sitting at home and they were watching the cricket or something or other on the television, and she said they had the curtains drawn. And she said they suddenly felt a bit warmer, and she opened the curtains. The fire was sort of just outside the door, basically.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah, didn't realise she had, because they weren't giving any warnings over on the television, they were only doing it on the radio, she didn't know about it. Yeah,
nasty.
Yeah,
yeah.
But we're a bit slow as a country with regulations and building codes.
Mm.
In California, they know they're going to have earthquakes.
Yeah.
And they build accordingly.
Yeah.
Yep.
In the Midwest, they know they're going to have hurricanes or...
Cyclones.
Tornadoes.
Tornadoes.
And they have a basement, and they go down there. The house might get blown away, but you survive in the basement.
Mm.
Here, we know we're going to have bushfires. They keep happening.
Yeah, but they don't build fireproof homes, yeah.
Well, they can't.
Well, they're doing so down...
have a basement. After Ash Wednesday and Black Saturday, all these various companies came out and says, well, I've got this
It's a survival booth. It's like a bomb shelter that might have been in the 50s. It's fireproof. You put it under your house or away from your house is another option. Just have an option to go to.
But they're doing that down the Great Ocean Road, down where the fires were down there. They're making them build houses that are going to be fire proof, basically.
Preventing them from rebuilding what was there before because it didn't stand the fire. Yeah. But it was interesting. You were talking earlier about the lead people in the Pride March. Who were they and what were they doing?
They were cleansing. They had a fire. They're cleansing the street and everything, and it was rather brilliant.
No, it was symbolic.
Symbolic, yeah.
And who were the people?
The Australian Indigenous population.
And they were doing a smoking ceremony.
Yeah, which cleanses the area.
Now, that's interesting because Phil then came up with the reminder that the vegetation needs fire, but it also needs smoke to regenerate. And the people in the nurseries have found that if they have smoke water, that is part of the germination process for the seeds that have been cracked open by the heat.
Oh, yeah.
They need the actual smoke water. That's why hopefully not long after a bushfire, there is a rainstorm and that will wash the smoke from the air down into, and they'll pick up some of the ash water as well.
It's amazing this country where we're still learning about how to live in it.
Phil, your friend Mr. Zuckerberg, on the 4th of February 2004, he invented something.
No, he stole something.
He stole something, did he?
Well, he saw a really good idea and developed it.
And what could that have been?
I think it was the Book of Faces.
Oh, right.
And they changed the name since to call it Facebook.
All right.
Which everybody seems to need except me.
And me.
Oh, well, I have, but I don't. I have it, but I don't put anything on. I just read what people send me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have time.
I had this weird concept that before Facebook I existed.
Yeah.
Without Facebook. And since Facebook, I still exist.
But we existed without mobile phones as well. We
yes, very nicely, thank you very much.
Yes, yes.
Never ran into a pole.
So what is the collective name for this Facebook thing?
This is
social
media,
yeah.
Which is an interesting term. I guess it is a medium. It is a form of transmission of information. But it's also a good place to get fake news.
Well,
because there's no editor, there's no overlord or overseer to think, well, no, we're going to stick with facts because that's a good idea.
Mm. It was interesting why he called it Facebook, because he originally did it so that he could have faces of all the students that were coming into Harvard so that they would know who everybody was. And that's where he got the idea of putting it onto the internet to show people who everybody was, have a little bio about them.
I come from the era when I don't trust with my personal information being out in the general world, and no one's going to capture my identity,
well,
I hope.
I will be shot down for mentioning this, and I will be holding the gun myself. The Kardashians.
Oh.
Who I know we've never mentioned before, and I promise never to mention again. They publicised their every move in every country, and including France, in this little town called Paris.
Yes.
I'm staying at the such and such hotel, and look at all these wonderful things I've got.
Yes.
Next thing you know, she's being robbed. Shock horror.
Hmm.
Oh.
If you out there telling everybody where you are and what you're doing every moment of the day,
yes,
you're exposing yourself to disaster.
There's various aspects to my life that I share with a few very close people, and I trust them to respect my privacy in these matters. But I've seen so many people, as you've seen, put basic information out on Facebook.
You can set up private settings and group settings.
True, but even...
But there's a lot of people.
The family album is the album for the family.
Yeah, and leave the other bums out of it. I see people going out to dinner, and there might be two or three or more of them, and instead of talking to each other, they've got their heads in their phones.
Yeah, well,
that's not progress.
Future generations are going to be formed with a hand that's sort of shaped like that, holding up my hand so everybody can see, and a long thumb.
No, the future generations are going to say, that was a very silly experiment in technology.
No,
let's go back to talking to each other.
No, they'll probably have something implanted in their brains so they don't have to do anything.
Yeah, but trouble is that'll have advertising.
would it?
Everything does.
Oh, no, I don't want
that. Facebook started up without advertising, and they grew to a point where they had to have an income to support all this technology, and of course they had to go to advertise. So with a bit of luck, it'll just go away.
Hopefully.
I don't think so, Philip. It'll probably evolve into something a little bit different, but I don't think it's going to go away.
Not while there's money in it.
Well, there's no money on our show or for us in our show. No sponsors.
No.
No kickbacks, nothing. So I suppose we'll have to just come back next week and do it all over again and hope.
Oh, okay. No, I've got a suggestion. Next week, we'll talk about other stuff.
All right, then.
Instead of this stuff again.
Yeah.
Which we could do. And people may not notice because we completely forget each week what we're talking about.
You're not wrong.
We'll do something different.
All right. Find out something.
Just for next week. But now you've got to tune in.
That's a good idea.
Because I might be lying.
Joy 94.9. And you can also tune in on when we stream on.
We stream live 2300 hours on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And we repeat it again as an encore at midnight, Sunday midnight into Mondays.
All right.
And yes, we do have podcasts.
Well, and the podcasts are there for everybody to see and hear.
And all we can say is, sorry.
We hope we brought a little bit of joy and interest to your listening pleasure. If you just missed us, well, you'll have to tune in next week. Mm-hmm. Until then, cheerio.
What are we going out with?
Eventually, we'll be going out with Shapeshifters. Incredible. Bye for now.
Bye for now. Bye.
Bye from me.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.